for any calls.
K2PCV, this is KE2GDQ. How are you on this Monday morning?
Oh, good morning, sir. So far, so very good. If 1,000% better is a an actual value, then I'll take it. Compared to last week, I feel like a completely new person. The unfortunate side of it is that Lynn started feeling a little under the weather this weekend. We'll see what comes of it. She said she didn't feel too bad this morning. But we shall see. Yeah, how was the weekend?
This was probably not one of my better weekends. Just didn't have a good night's sleep Friday night into Saturday, so I was kind of out of it all day Saturday. Yesterday wasn't too bad, but the time change kind of threw me off, so we'll see what the next couple days bring. But I didn't get a chance to play any radio at all this weekend.
That's okay. It'll be there when you're ready for it. Yeah, the time change threw us off a little bit, too. At least I had gotten up in the morning, and my alarm clock auto-flipped, and I had gotten up like, wow, you know, time's really cruising along here today. You know, it was like, 6:50, something like that, and I'm thinking, man, I slept in again, and I don't even feel like it, and so I get up, and I'm starting to putter around, and I look at the stove clock. Look at the microwave clock. Okay, we're springing ahead today. I forgot all about that. So it wasn't until the morning that it dawned on me, and then it started clicking, and Liz was commenting throughout the day yesterday how the time change was throwing her off. But once I realized the time, I don't think it really affected me. But Mr. Carlson's lab, that's the one that you were referring to, right?
Yeah, Mr. Carlson's lab. I'm really liking that show, or that channel. He does some really neat stuff, and he's just so good at it.
Well, I had subscribed to it. Probably a couple weeks ago when you mentioned it, but didn't really go back to look at much. It was just kind of like waiting to watch later. And then I was working on that project with Larry McGuire, and there was a circuit change in there or something I wanted him to check out. And he's like, oh, no, we've got it working now. We ended up replacing this one transistor. Or he did, based on our troubleshooting, and it was working, and I'm like, I don't know, what killed the transistor? We need to know the root cause. Check this component. No, it's got to be good, because it's working. Now, we really need to check that component, and so I did a quick Google search, and I found these two videos that related to what we were talking about, why it's important. One of them was one from Mr. Carl's lab, and after I sent that and got off the phone with him, I was hooked. I probably watched three consecutively. The one on the wire recorder was really cool. And he's got that other detection tool, which actually worked out for that wire recorder where he was actually listening to the audio out of the tube when the speaker wasn't working. Oh, I was loving it.
Yeah, I think he calls that the super probe, that it picks up, like, audio, in the devices when you can't hear it through the audio section of stuff. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's really good. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the point where I've become a Patreon subscriber, but he talks about how, you know, you can gain access to either buy or the information to build those devices. I don't know if it was the same device or a very similar device to measure or convert the noise of a diode to audio, and all this stuff is, it's so cool. Why are we not building these at work? Yes, I am very much enjoying it, and I'm glad you turned me on to it, even if it did take me a couple weeks to really appreciate it. I think it's going to be some time well spent for me.
Yeah, he brings back a lot of memories. Because when I was in high school, I took electronics as BOCES for 2 years, and I was just at that age where there was still a lot of tube stuff, but still a lot of discrete transistors at the time. And I was learning how to troubleshoot equipment or circuits at the time. And then things got derailed. It's kind of piqued an interest, but I'm being very cautious about how far I go down that rabbit hole of that hobby.
But what it makes me think, though, is, and maybe it's something you're trying to avoid as well, is I'd like to go to a ham fest, and, you know, some of these tables have some of this older equipment sitting there at very reasonable prices, and I'm thinking, should I pick that up? Well, you know, I don't have the comfort level of repairing that, but, you know, maybe that could be a little spark to say, okay, find something cheap enough and give it a go. Of course, there's probably people out there that have already done that or went through that unit, couldn't fix it, or maybe these tubes really are no longer available for this certain build, and okay, let's just dump this thing. And of course, you'd hate to come across that, but yeah, I guess you have to know what you're dealing with. But I worked on that a little bit. I did a little web page coding for a little web app that I'm using these days. That's working pretty good. It was not too bad of a weekend. Maybe I'll pause to see if anyone else is in there. This is K2PCB. I know Jeff was telling me the other day that we don't pause long enough to allow him to get in. When he's coming in through EchoLink, if he's not right in it quickly after we unkey and or leave longer pauses, that he can't get in. And then once we are keyed up, the EchoLink will intrude into the, the network of linked connections. So just something, he was mentioning that the other day, that he kept trying to get in but couldn't get in. I know it's a common thing with, the larger systems that they want you to pause at least 5 seconds. But my new webpage tool should actually show when he's connected. And I should get notification when he's popped in there. But we'll see if it works.
Jeff must be having some other issues, some technical difficulties or something else happened. But you're right. There's the guys on 444, the WA2HKS repeater, they key up so fast, it's amazing that they don't double on each other. I listened to those guys a few times, and I thought about breaking in, but there's just no break.
You know, I honestly think some of those guys use Vox to voice activate the radio, which is very helpful on HF. If you key up ahead of somebody, they unkey, you're there, no problem. It causes a little more of an issue when you're on a repeater system or a internet-connected system here. HF, it's not as much of a problem, and sometimes you'll hear people trying to talk over each other, or a couple people, just like a normal conversation, they'll just start talking. And it isn't too bad that way, and sometimes you can actually hear, you can hear both, which is kind of cool. Definitely not the same here. This is a little more rigid.
Yeah, I got to get into the HF stuff. pretty soon. And but like you said, you were talking about going to a ham fest and finding some equipment. There's a guy, I think we talked to him one time. I think his call sign is, I had wrote it down, was N2LCJ. And I think he calls him something Laboratories. And I hear him on WA2HKF a lot about buying different equipment and going through it and fixing it or, you know, cleaning it up anyways and getting it ready for sale. And I know he's been selling some stuff at the club, but definitely stuff that I had no use for.
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, what is your intent of the hobby? Are you looking to build transceivers, radios? Are you looking to just use them? Are you more into the digital side of things? I know you your interest is piqued by the whole working satellites. I guess you have to know what you're curious about and what you would like to dabble with. And yeah, building something from the ground up, it's not for everybody. UHF, VHF is not for everybody. Local repeaters, not for everybody. HF, not for everybody. Morse code. It's a vast, hobby. And what was I listening to? I think it was the Hubnet out of the UK this weekend as we were coming home from shopping, and the guy was talking about Morse code and how easy it is, and, you know, learn these four letters, and then those same four letters backwards, and then these four letters, and those letter backwards, and these five, and then this configuration. Okay, now you've got half of the alphabet, and if I was focused on Morse code right now, yeah, I'd probably, maybe restart, but I definitely don't have time for that. I think I've got Jeff rolling in behind me. Well, he's early. Except I think he's driving someone else's vehicle. Must be his wife's car.
Interesting. I was going to say, well, maybe that's why he wasn't on the air, but if he's using Echolink, that's through his phone, so he wouldn't need an antenna or anything.
One on second. Jeff's at the window. KHPCB.
KE2GDQ, KC2PET.
This is KE2GDQ. Go ahead.
Take this opportunity to hop in. Say good morning to you. How are you doing?
Not doing too bad this morning. It's been a great weekend for me. Been was really out of it all day Saturday. I was tired. I didn't sleep good at all Saturday night. And then yesterday, with the time change and all, just kind of still recovering from Saturday. It's been one of those weekends, but that's okay. We're still kicking, so we'll keep moving along. How was your weekend?
Oh, I guess productive. I fixed my dad's brakes by his Equinox. He had a soft pedal. I don't know why. I don't know if it got air in it somewhere somehow, but I let a lot of air out of the system, so it's all better now. I just don't know how the air got in. And the dad did some work for the fire department, some wiring. We got our truck back from maintenance, and they put a new battery charger in. I had to rewire in some of the electronics. I don't know why they couldn't figure it out, but whatever. So I did that, and I was up there, a guy handed me a radio. It seems like a overlarged Ofang. That's kind of neat radio. Like I said, it's kind of rather huge. I got it with me today. I'm going to show Travis and Justin. It's definitely different.
Is that an overlarged thing that you got?
No, this is brand new. It's made by Christian, whatever. Yeah, he just bought it. And I brought it up to him. He says, here, can you program this? I'm like, oh, okay. So it's not too hard to program, and it acts like a ball thing.
So you were able to use Chirp with it?
No, Chirp, it's that new. Chirp doesn't even support it yet.
So you had to use their software. Did you have to download it, and or you know, how did it go?
Well, I didn't program it all with the software. I had to use the front keypad. I typed everything in. Which is not surprising for me. I've done it so much, it's not a big deal for me. But you have to buy, obviously buy one of their cables, and if I could just hand type it in, I'd spend an hour doing it, that was easy enough for me to do. So, yeah, no PC, I just typed everything in on the keypad.
Yeah, like you said before, once you've done a couple of different radios, they're not too far different. You start to understand the menus, and usually is where they're at in their layer, and then then you go from there. So that's you programmed it by hand. I'm impressed. That's cool.
TV.
Morning, Travis. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ross. I'll say good morning to you. And I'm also going to say good morning to Brad since it's 6:44. I'm going to pop out. But if I heard what I think is correct, you have yourself a Quanshang HT. I've heard people talk about those being like a Bofang knockoff. Some people really like them. They don't sound too bad. Yeah, I think they have proprietary programming, though, unfortunately, if you want to do it with a PC. But, yeah, I'll catch up with you guys later. Ross will talk to you on the inside, and Brad will talk to you tomorrow. This is K2PCB, 73.
73 is K2PCB. This is K2GDQ. KC2PET. So it's a Quanshang. I think I've heard of those radios. But I'm learning a lot more. I'm still getting flooded with radio names and brands and all that sort of stuff.
Yep, there's a million of them out there. A lot of them. A lot of different ones. I wouldn't. Like I said, it's humongous. It's got a 5,000 amp hour battery on it. I'm like, what? It things must run like a week straight without having to charge it. And like I said, it's an oversized radio. I wouldn't buy it. It's actually too big. I can't fit my hand around the whole thing. How big it is.
Almost sounds like one of those. One of the very beginnings, one of the initial SOPOs, you know, the bricks, are what they used to use in the military, the handhelds that they had in the military way back in, like, Vietnam and stuff.
That's exactly what it looks like. That's what it is, actually. It's got a, the antenna, they call it the gooseneck antenna, so it's flexible. You can just turn it whatever you want. It's like one of those gooseneck lights. But it's got that as an antenna, assuming the antenna is at the very top of it. Like I said, it's a difference. It picks up okay. It's not, like I said, it's not the greatest receiver, but I guess it works for what he wants to do. He's just trying to use it as a scanner, I guess. A lot of guys are doing that now. Obviously, there's scanners that are, you know, they're like $600. And, and you buy these for $80 or so, and they're cheap, and they work for what they are.
Yeah, if you just want to use it as a scanner, that makes sense. Your draw is going to be minimal. Obviously, more of your draw is on your power draw is on your transmission. Especially at higher wattage. That all makes sense.
Yeah, and I want to set this up to transmit. Like I said, he's the one that's just a scanner. Would take out the transmitter side of things and just use it strictly to receive. That's all he wants it for.
Yeah, there's a couple of frequencies on here that I want strictly to listen to, so I've blocked the ability to transmit on them, like the Lancaster Dispatch and the Lancaster Fire Department. I've got them blocked, so I can't inadvertently transmit on them for whatever reason.
Yeah, I do that a lot with them. Like I said, most ones I've programmed, I've done that. Yeah, I'm like, you don't need to talk to them. You just want them as a scanner. So, yeah, it's that. They are, I personally would get a scanner, but these are, because they slow scan. They're like two channels like every second, where if you actually have a dedicated scanner, they will turn you on like 50 channels a second or something crazy like that. I want a whole new team and see it scanning and going so fast.
Yeah, I would have to see how fast mine scans. It scans pretty fast. I wish there was a way I could slow that down a little bit, but I don't think there is.
No, I'll be asked. That's pretty much it. I can't adjust that. I usually would like them a little faster, actually, on the handheld, but... Yeah, I can't adjust that speed at all. At least on some of them. I don't know, maybe you can on the actual dedicated scanners, the newer ones. The Utilin ones, they're like $500-$600. I can't believe the price that they're asking for. But they do everything pretty much. They're getting them up to the point where they're starting to receive some of the police frequencies.
To uncode the digital?
Yeah, they can decode their system. Not if it's encrypted though. You can't still get by the encryption. But so some of them are just digitally encoded, so they can still receive that as long as they don't encrypt it.
Yeah, I remember when I was studying for the general, the technician, where they talked about the difference between encoded and encrypted. And then Thursday night when I was at W2SO, they gave a talk on repeaters, and one of those things came up, the difference between encoded and encrypted, and that over amateur you cannot do encrypted.
Yep, I agree. Which I don't agree, the police should be allowed to do it, but they can, I guess. I guess it's for security reasons. But yet again, they don't require the fire department to be encrypted. So I know some of them moving to digital. I told our department, I'm like, you don't want to go digital. And even the police around the area says, yeah, you don't want to go digital. He goes, the sound is just horrible. It's like if you sound like a robot.
Yeah, I can believe that. And if there's, I know that it allows for more traffic on a particular frequency because of something Steve explained, where there's a time slot. So once you, like you and I were talking, you know, Travis and Jeff could talk on the same frequency, but because we're time shifted and it happens so fast that no one really knows that you're there. But yeah, analog, I think, is better than going in digital. I think it's clearer.
Oh yeah, it's much clearer. I would never go, until they can get digital to sound like analog, I don't think I would ever go there. Travis tried it, but it's, I've heard, on East Coast Reflector, you can hear the digital. I've heard people on it, but they just sound horrible.
Yeah, I remember when we first got cell phones for the family, and I had a Motorola StarTAC, and that was an analog phone. The sound quality on that was absolutely incredible. And then I ended up having to get another phone, or they started going all digital, and I had to get a phone. I think that's what it was. And yeah, you could definitely hear the difference. I mean, it's gotten pretty good now, but back then, I thought the analog was much better.
Yep. Well, fortunately, Brad, I'm going to go in and get my day started. I think I'll be on the air tomorrow. I got to get my blood draw. And it's like right in the middle of the day. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to take the day off. I usually feel like crap afterwards anyway. So we'll be in tomorrow. So KD2GDQ, KD2PEC. I will talk to you on Wednesday. Have a good day.
73, Steve Ross. This is KE2GDQ, KC2PT. You have a great day. great day, and we're monitoring.